You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the meeting grounds for spirituality and society, religion and culture.
Honoring our ancestors is an ancient spiritual practice found in many cultures and traditions. And so we begin today's service by invoking and expressing gratitude to our ancestors. We call to mind and invoke our parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, our siblings from across time and space. As they live in our hearts and thoughts, they are here, present with us. In calling to mind on particular ancestors, family roots, spiritual teachers and guides, each one of us brings into the room our own vast network of people and places. From our histories, our ancestors call to us and task us. We are grateful for their gifts, their lessons, and their challenge, calling us to accountability and responsibility to fulfill their hopes for a future of peace and justice. May our ancestors guide us on our way. May they bless this space and time and the work we do. Ancestors, be with us.
Thank you, Taka. So I welcome you all to this great cloud of witnesses, those present here in body and those ancestors who live in us. These words to enrich our reflection time today by a Unitarian scientist, Gary Kowalski. Our time is short here on Earth. Around us swirl immensities of time and space, a universe infinite in all directions. How small our hopes and cares seem amid the panorama of creation. Yet we are not separate from the cosmos, but have evolved and grown out of it like the leaves of a tree, or like the waves from the sea. And our thoughts are its thoughts, our lives a manifestation of never-ending vitality. Our spirits are a microcosm of the beauty and creativity of the whole. Fill us then with reverence and compassion for all who are our kin, cloud and sun, sibling and cousin, the multitude of beings who share this improbable and never-to-be-repeated moment. All expressions, like ourselves, of the mind at large, the spirit at play, the dynamism at work, in which we live and move and have our being, and whom we may never know. Amen. And please get comfortable, and I'd like you now to think back, to remember. Think back to a time which is not very long ago. 2 hours ago. Where were you? Who were you with? Now that memory of 2 hours ago probably comes back very easily. So we'll go a little further back. 2 weeks ago, yesterday, at exactly the same time. Now where are you? What are you doing? Who are you with? Now that's probably a bit more difficult. So we'll go back to a time which is perhaps clearer in your imagination. New Year's Eve, 1999, the turn of the millennium. Where are you? Are you indoors or outdoors? Are you with friends? Can you remember what you thought the coming millennium would hold? And did it? Perhaps you can remember a little, but not everything of that day, a few fragments. But now we're going to go even further back in your memory. Let's go back to the first time you wanted to kiss someone. Who was it? And did you? And now our journey takes us even further back. We are going to when you are 6 years old. It's your first day of school. It's summer and you're standing outside. Look around you. What can you see? Now look down at your feet. What shoes are you wearing? Now, in your imagination, look up behind you to your right-hand side and hold up your hand. A hand clasps yours. It's your mother. Look up to your left. Another hand clasps that one. It's your father. Your mother, your father, and you. Standing when you are 6. And now look back behind your right-hand side, behind your mother, with a hand on each of her shoulders, are her parents, her mother, her father, your grandparents. And to the left, on your father's shoulders, are his parents, his mother, his father. 6 people stand behind you, all of them looking at you. And now look back again, and behind your grandparents are their parents. 8 great-grandparents, 4 grandparents, your parents, and you. And now behind the 8 of them are 16 others, all looking at you. Now feel the leaf in your hand. You'll feel it has several veins. Imagine that each vein is a line of your ancestry, all coming down to you, the stalk. All of these veins are leading to you. In 100 years, there are approximately 4 generations. If you look back in your imagination along the line standing behind you as you look back, at the beginning of the 19th century, standing in that line would be 254 of your ancestors, assuming that none of your family are interrelated. At the beginning of the 18th century, assuming there are, again, no kinship ties, there is a line of 4,096. At the beginning of the 17th century, it would contain approximately 65,000. And at the beginning of the 16th, if you continue the same calculation, 1 million. So, 1,000 years ago, if there really were no kinship ties, that line would be longer than nearly all of the people who have ever lived. Which, of course, is not possible. But it must mean that you must be related to everyone sitting in this church. It must mean you must be related to everyone in Australia. It must mean that you must be related to every person living on the earth. And it must mean that you must be related to everyone who has ever lived. All of the living and the dead. Now, friends, gradually, so the light doesn't bother you, gradually open your eyes and look at the leaf in your hands. Turn it over and look at the veins. You can see that from the stalk there are several other branches, other veins. Imagine each vein is a line of your ancestry, and if you look closer still, there are even more veins interlocking, tinier veins, branching and branching and branching, making more and more web-like patterns in an infinite variety of interconnections. The same pattern that is in this leaf is in your blood system, which goes from your arteries and veins to your capillaries until your capillaries are no more than a cell wide. If you take a photograph of a delta of a river from space, you find the same pattern. Self-repeating patterns in us, through us, and all around us. That leaf meditation was from a great play called Mnemonic by Simon McBurney and Theatre de Complicité, which we have reused with permission from the authors. The ancient Greeks used to say, "Tell me where you come from and I'll tell you who you are." By that they meant that to know something of one's origins is to know something of one's nature. But our deepest and most basic origins, and therefore our deepest and most basic nature, are necessarily the most obscure. So how can we know them? How can we know ourselves? The leaf meditation reminds us of certain things. First, that the dead are not gone. That all that ever was of them is still here, all around us, in soil and plant and air and water. And people, where else would they go? We each live, move, and have our being amongst what the Bible called a great cloud of witnesses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. How great a cloud? How many people are we talking about? Well, recent research by the Population Reference Bureau, if you assume that what we consider human history starts about 50,000 BC when Homo sapiens first emerged, if you take that as a starting point, there have been 108.2 billion Homo sapiens ever born up to the present day, that have been before us. Taking away the 7.4 billion or so that are alive today, we get about 100 billion people, give or take, that have died before us. This means also that there are 14 times more dead than living, and that we are the 7% distillate of all of previous humanity. So let's not blow it. maybe not so much surrounded by a cloud of our many ancestors as embodying our many ancestors, made from them, distilled from them. Now, these numbers might make you feel insignificant, but it shouldn't. As the poet Rumi put it, you're not a drop in the ocean. You're that whole ocean in a single drop. Or if you prefer a Buddhist take, this is Alan Watts. You're something the whole universe is doing in the same way that a wave is something the whole ocean is doing. We each are something all of humanity has conspired to create. Well done, us. 52,000 years on, living as we do in human-made environments and so disconnected from the natural order and its rhythms and cycles, and also disconnected from traditional social family groups, that's extended family groups of 50 to 100, in which ancestors were as ever-present as the air you breathed or the food you ate. Living in these environments as we do now, we have forgotten perhaps the intrinsic basic interconnectedness between ourselves and the world. And in place of that humble respect for the web of life of which we are a part and to which we are intimately, subtly connected, we rather arrogantly come to believe that we have invented ourselves out of nothing. Only the gods do that. And we're not gods. Rather, much has gone into the making of each of us, and we are part of something, some patterned thing, much larger than our individual selves. No, not just a part. We are an expression of something larger, and that is everywhere, and that is endless. So the leaf meditation reminds us of our interconnectedness, and that that is rerum naturum, that is the way of nature, the nature of things. We are part of nature's branching patterns that spread and spread, seeking new space, seeking new engagement, creating complex interrelations and a diversity of forms. And of course, these patterns are not only found in leaves and trees, of spreading, diversifying, seeking, but also coastlines, river networks, mountain ranges, lightning strikes, right down to the tiniest single unit of snow. Branching patterning also seems to be the way the whole universe constructs itself. This is, as far as we can estimate, a map of the known universe. They've given it a name, Linaiakea. Our little Milky Way galaxy is one, a node on a branch from the central part. Now, within this web of the universe are countless unique nodes, planets, stars, galaxy, grown out of branching, seeking, recombining fields of energy and matter. This is an image of the glowing venous frond of all that is. How different is that pattern from the leaf in your hand? It would therefore not surprise you that when you begin to look at our human bodies, our physiology mirrors the same interconnecting, branching nature as the universe itself. On the left, the network of a brain cell. On the right, network of a star and its galaxies. And branching, seeking movement, too, in the blood system, and the nervous system. And this branching, seeking pattern movement, too, is in the unique root map of our ancestry, from the single-celled organism on the far left to the complex ecosystem of billions of species that have ever lived. And we are, to the lower right there, but one of them. A rather special, highly complex species capable of seeing these patterns and creating these symbols and reflecting and communicating all this. And let's not forget, too, that if we drill down into this branching network, that rich, complex webbed pattern, it reveals even more webs of interrelationships the deeper we go. So if you drill down just into the hominids, thousands of generations of chimps and bonobos are responsible for your breathing being too. Your ancestors, your breath. The migration pattern of our DNA too, out of sub-Saharan Africa. Yes, we are all African originally. To the furthest reaches of the planet's surface form a branching, seeking, diversifying pattern as well. And if you were to drill down into any part of this DNA journey, you would find each of ourselves a local temporal node in a seemingly endless web of familial relationships. We're so alike. We're 99.9% genetically identical, any two of us, no matter how outwardly different in appearance. We are closer genetically than any two breeds of dog you care to name. So a mere 0.1% of difference among human genes defines the limit of your surface uniqueness, your hair color, your height, your eye color, how much facial hair you're capable of growing, and so on. Since the dawn of abstract thought, humans have contemplated the mystery of our being here at all and asked, well, how did we get here? Where do we come from? And it seems that the further back you trace your origins, you don't actually go back. You spread out. The further back you go, the further out your relationships spread. That's why people make family trees. 1,000 years is in the leaf meditation is a simple calculation that shows that we are all family. And the truth of this deep interconnectedness with each other is pretty awesome, yes, but how might we live with the full awareness of that truth? And how might this impact our lives practically and urge us towards seeking the good? What direction does it point? That minuscule 0.1% of genetic difference, which gives us all our apparent differences between individuals, it's a tiny, tiny bit, but it can blind us to the deeper reality that we are all one. It has a lot to answer for, that 0.1%. It means things like differences in race, ethnicity, nationality, even, yes, gender. That these differences are a thin and illusory veneer covering a vast subsurface familial unity. What if you took the moment to decide to look beneath the distracting, glossy variety of that 0.1% surface differences and treat everyone, everyone, like they were your family? That is, with the sort of inherent worth and dignity we normally reserve only for ourselves and those closest to us in our immediate family grouping, would you not begin to look on even the most difficult, different, and troublesome person with something like the eyes of loving kindness? Wouldn't your love for the world be greater? Wouldn't the world seem less dark and alien? When clergy like me call laity like you brothers and sisters, as I sometimes do, perhaps that might seem a little less creepily presumptuous now, because we are, really, brothers and sisters, and so is your neighbor, the neighbor you don't speak to, or might exchange a grunt with when you both take the trash cans out at the same time, but never exchange a word with, your gay neighbor, your Muslim neighbor, your immigrant neighbor, your bogan neighbor, brothers and sisters. So keep that leaf as a mnemonic reminder of our deep familial interconnectedness. It has nothing to do with belief. It's a fact. The world is not a problem to be solved, says the Sufi master Llewellyn Vaughan Lee. It's a living being to which we belong. The world is part of our own self, and we are part of its suffering wholeness. Until we go to the root of our illusion of separateness, there can be no healing. And the deepest part of our separateness from the world and from each other lies in our forgetting its sacred nature, which is also our own sacred nature. Amen.
Rob McPherson's addresses are his intellectual property. They may only be used by other preachers if his permission is sought and expressed, acknowledgement is given that they are his work, and the addresses are used in their entirety. To seek his permission, email Rob at unitarianessay@bigpond.com.
And that's our episode of Expanding Horizons for the week. The introduction is a piece named Elements by the artist CDK. The piece is licensed under Creative Commons. This is White Rabbit, out.